Jeremiah chapter 14. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. So starting in verse 1, Jeremiah 14, these are the words of our Lord. That which came as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah in regard to the drought. Judah mourns and her gates languish. They sit on the ground in mourning and the cry of Jerusalem has ascended. Their nobles have sent their servants for water. They have come to the cisterns and found no water. They have returned with their vessels empty. They have been put to shame and humiliated and they cover their heads. Because the ground is cracked, for there is no rain on the land, the farmers have been put to shame, they have covered their heads. For even a doe in the field has given birth only to abandon her young, because there is no grass. The wild donkeys stand on the bare heights, they pant for air like jackals. Their eyes fail, for there is no vegetation. Although our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, act for your namesake. Truly, our apostasies have been many. We have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior, in time of distress, why are you like a stranger in the land or like a traveler who has pitched his tent for the night? Why are you like a man dismayed, like a mighty man who cannot save? Yet you are in our midst, O Lord, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord to this people, even so they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. And so the Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. When they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I am not going to accept them. Rather, I'm going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. But, ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I've neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and a deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord, concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying there will be no sword or famine in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall meet their end. The people also to whom they are prophesying will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and there will be no one to bury them. Neither them, nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their own wickedness on them. You will say this word to them, let my eyes flow down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people has been crushed with a mighty blow, with a sorely infected wound. If I go out to the country, behold, those slain with the sword. Or if I enter the city, behold, diseases of famine. For both prophet and priest have gone roving about in the land that they do not know. Have you completely rejected Judah? Or have you loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that we are beyond healing? We waited for peace, but nothing good came. And for a time of healing, but behold, terror. We know our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not despise us for your own name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, and do not annul your covenant with us. Are there any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Or can the heavens grant showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? Therefore we hope in you, for you are the one who has done all these things. And that is the word of the Lord. So there was a drought, it says, and a predominantly farming culture. This brought mourning and languishing. You remember the last few years for us, we've had drought here. We survived. Why? Because we could just ship food in. These people didn't have that luxury. They were in the midst of famine, and so no water means no food, no means of living. There's no water in the wells. The deer, having given birth to their fawns, they give up the fawn to die because she can barely take care of herself, let alone a fawn. Or why are they going through this? Why is Israel going through this? Or Judah's going through this? Verse 7, their iniquities testify against them, Jeremiah prays. Lord, act according to who you are, Lord. We've sinned. We've committed apostasies. Verse 8, you see how he prays. He prays the promises. The promises are the hope of Israel, the Savior in time of darkness. Yahweh, who is present with Judah, the people called by your name, he says, he prays, do not forsake us. That's the plea of Jeremiah. It's a corporate plea. And yet we sense that perhaps he's one of the only righteous among them. But as Jeremiah prays that, the reality is that Judah has continued in their sins, and so the severe threatenings come against them. No, do not pray for such a wicked people, Jeremiah. Yahweh says, he is going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. Why? Because they do not believe in him. They don't have faith. They don't cling to him. They go after other gods. But then you also have false prophets among them who excuse their sin and tell them that the sword and famine, well, the sword and famine aren't coming. What's coming is peace. So he's saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so in this, they're giving false words, false visions, and the deceptions of their own mind going out to the people, therefore deceiving the people. So what is Jeremiah to do? He is to, instead of interceding for them, praying for them, he is to lament while praying and interceding. Brothers and sisters, this was a very bad state that the people were in here. They claimed to be the people of God, but they lived like the world. And so what was the promise to them? It was curses. They did not believe. They did not live in accordance with the truth and the promises. Therefore, to them belongs curses. They did not truly hold on to the promises and the covenant. They did not have faith and therefore live righteous lives. And so they proved to be what? Not God's people. And so the warning of judgment comes to them. They will be cursed. There will be exile. And our calling is to examine our lives. Does it line what we profess? Do our lives line up with what we do profess? Does it line up with our profession? If our lives do not line up with our profession, you're called here to turn back to Him, just as in some ways they're being called to turn back to Him. If it does line up with your profession in Christ Jesus, then be warned of what awaits those who turn from the Lord unto sin, that you would be kept from sin. Again, that's our calling in Jeremiah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of warning to us that we would not stray from you. We see what happens to those who stray from you. We see what happens to Israel. We see what happened to Judah. That they were sent into exile. And they were seen to be not your people any longer. They were shown to be not shown mercy, as you declared in the book of Hosea. For they committed many adulteries. Here, they're committing idolatries and turning from you. And have turned from you and continue to turn from you. They even have the preachers of the day, they're saying that things are not going to happen when you have indeed said that they are going to happen. They're preaching false things. Today in our world, in those places that are called churches often, there are people, there are ministers, preachers who preach false things. And they're saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Father, we ask that you would turn them from their sin. And Father, even as we pray that, we acknowledge that we ourselves have sinned in many and various and sundry ways. We have turned from you. We've broken your commandments. We've even broken the second commandment dealing with worship. Father, we ask that you would turn us from our sin unto you, the living and true God, that you would show mercy and that we would not be seen as people like this, like Judah and Israel, who have turned and turned to their idols and worship them and don't love you and don't believe in you. They go after other gods. May we not be like that. Only for the sake of Christ, we know that that is possible only in Him. That we would be kept from that. That if you have truly saved us, you have truly given us your Spirit and truly given us the gift of faith. And Father, we know that you will keep us from such things. And that you will spur us on towards obedience and love for you always. In your Son, in union with your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, that is where our hope lies in Him. And Father, may it come to pass that you will sanctify us and bring us into your heavenly kingdom at the right time. Father, we also ask that you would cause us to be a light to the nations, a light to even those who profess to be Christians and yet who are far from you. That you would give us boldness and that we would not shy away for thought that we would be, there would be division amongst family members or co-workers. That you would give us boldness in all places that we go, that we would not worry about whether we will be tolerated or not. That we would proclaim the gospel and live it out for your glory. That many sons and daughters would be brought in and adopted into your family. And that the angels would rejoice as we would rejoice over one who repents. Father, in these things we pray for our children. There are quite a few, even those who have gone out from us who do not know you, who have not publicly profess their faith or who deny the gospel completely. Father, bring them to yourself and cause them to join with your people and to love you in all things. Father, we ask that perhaps even this day would be the day of salvation for some. Not only here in this place, but throughout the world on this, the Lord's Day, where the word is proclaimed. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.